You have your Bibles this morning. Turn with me in John. John's a very, very good letter written by the Holy Spirit. We didn't get the way we are overnight. We became this way because over a period of time we've deteriorated to where we are today. It doesn't happen overnight. When you fall away from God, the way that Satan does that is it's very slowly. It's kind of like a tooth decaying. You don't know it's there until it hurts. And that's what scares me as a pastor, is seeing lives out there that don't know God, or folks that claim to be children of God, and yet there's nothing in their life that shows that other than they show up for maybe an hour a week. They're not in their quiet times. They're not putting on armor of God. They're not taking up their cross and following Him. They're not doing all of those things that Jesus says you have to do. These were not options. Salvation is not an option where you get to go to like when you go to McDonald's. I think they were one of the first places, or I mean, I always get this wrong, but you know, you could go, and remember when hamburgers first came out, they had pickles and lettuce and mayonnaise on them regardless of what you liked. And then somebody came up with this great idea that you could order it the way you want it. And I tell you what, religion is basically just like that. You come and you go to the altar of God and you just order whatever you want. And unfortunately, that's not going to stand up in the graces of Almighty God. As gracious and as merciful and as loving as He is, that's not going to hold up to His holiness. Let's read here in chapter 21, beginning verse 18. It's truly, truly, I say to you that when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Of course, he's talking to Peter here. He had just humbled Peter once again. Jesus has been resurrected. He's shown himself once again to disciples. Peter had just gone through that agonizing questioning of God. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And he did it three times. And Peter finally comes to him and says, God, you know all things. Basically, he said, you know, I'm not going to defend myself anymore. I just, you know all things. And so this is kind of where this shows up. And now he's instructing Peter and says, you know, and it is true, you know, when we're young, you know, we get that certain age, we do what we want to do in life, do we not? And then if you live long enough, did you know if you live long enough, you get old? And if you live long enough, your body deteriorates. Did you know that? That's why the Bible says bodily exercise profits very little. So if you live long enough, you're going to get old. okay, and if you live long enough, and he says, you know, and the people are going to take you where you don't want to go. In other words, you know, these old folks, you know, we think they want to go to the beach, you know, and we load them up and we take them to the beach, and they really don't want to go to the beach. But because they're going to pay for it, because they use their money, we're taking them to the beach, right? You know, so, you know, there's a lot of truth in this biblical thing that when we do get old, and then these young folks come along and take us where we don't want to go. But God had a different biblical reason for saying this. He says, now, this he said, signifying what kind of death he would glorify God. So Peter was going to glorify God in his death. You see, we think we should just glorify God in our life, but we also, in our death, should glorify God as well. We have a hope. Our hope is in Him. Our hope is in the resurrection. You know, there's no hope in this life. I'm not being Debbie Downer, but I'm just trying to tell you truth here, that the only hope that we have as children of God is not in the Democratic Party. It's not in the Republican Party. It's not in your mother. It's not in your father. It's not in anything that man can come up with. The hope is only in Jesus Christ, and that God raised Him from the dead. And then on the last day, Jesus will raise us up with Him. So that is our hope. But he was going to glorify God in his death. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, now follow me. think that's the focal point this morning. Maybe what God's trying to teach us is to follow him. What does it mean to follow him? You can't do your own thing and be following Christ. Do we understand that following him means to that as his disciple that we agree with his teachings, and then agreeing with his teachings, following is an act. It's not, you actually have to do something if you follow Jesus Christ. You don't get to do your own thing. You can't go over here and Jesus be over there and say, I'm following Jesus. See what we have allowed the world to dictate is to say that, well, if you come to church and you tithe, which we weren't learned last week, and you miss that if you miss Sunday school, you miss the real truth about tithing. So you'll have to ask God to give you that answer yourself. But understand that to follow him means to put into place what he teaches. That means you can't have it your way. And you're deceiving yourself to think that you don't need to be taught by God. You know, and somehow everybody's going their own direction. And they say they're following. How can you follow a single person and go in 15 different directions? I'm ignorant. I'm a simple, stupid little country boy that somehow God has put up here, you know, I guess punishing you all. But anyway, explain to me, how can you sit there and say you follow Christ when there's no evidence of that in your life? Because you're listening to what the world says, oh, if you do this, you're following Christ. When I don't think that the real truth about following Christ has been told, what it means to follow Christ. First of all, you can't follow him if you're not his child, if you're not God's child. See, Jesus didn't follow just anything that he wanted to follow. He followed God, and he followed God's instructions. And so, therefore, that's why Jesus says, follow me, because when you follow me, you're following God. And that's how this works, is that to follow him means that we're all going in the same direction, right? We're all the same purpose. So he told Peter to follow him. He said, now I want you to follow me. I told you to tend my sheep, to tend the lambs, shepherd the sheep, and help the flock. He said, so I've told you to do those things. Now, you specifically, I'm talking about you, come follow me and do what I tell you to do. You don't do anything on your own initiative, but you only do things on the initiative that I tell you, because what I have heard is from the Father, and I only do what the Father tells me, and I only say what the Father tells me. So, you know, following him, and we'll look at this in a little bit later, in a little deeper. So Peter turning around, see, Peter didn't like this. He said, wait a minute, you're getting real personal because you're talking about me. Peter turned around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, and ultimately everyone thinks that's the disciple of John, because that's the one that was laying on his bosom at the Lord's Supper. Loved following him, the one who has also leaned back on his bosom at the supper and said, Lord, who is it, the one who betrays you? So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what about that man? What about that guy? I mean, wait a minute. You want me to do what? You want me to follow you? But what about that guy? See, I think a lot of our focus a lot of times is on everybody else and not on us. God calls in each and every one of us to follow him. And it doesn't matter what the other guy is doing. He's never going to look at the other guy and say, well, look, he's not comparing you to the other guy. So if you're following Christ and you're following his teachings and you're making them real in your life, then the only person that you need to be concerned about is you, not about everybody else. So if you have a family that doesn't want to get up and come to Sunday school or church or whatever, you get up and go yourself. You got people that are coming to visit your house. You get up and you come. See, we like to use every excuse that we can not to make worship the most important thing in our life. And that's a key. Because if you're following Christ, you're gonna come worship. And you're not gonna let anything interfere with that. I'm just saying, I didn't write this. You can't say that God is first in your life when you just cram him in when it's convenient for you to cram him in. You're not fooling. You're not. God knows your heart. You can fool me. Fine. Fool me. Great. Die and go to hell. You fooled me. But you're not going to fool God. He knows what's in your heart. He knows right now. You sitting there right now. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your heart. And he knows that you'd rather be doing something else than being here listening to a boring old preacher and praising his name. He knows that. See, we are so raised up on what we're supposed to say, but we really don't truly believe it. We're not really truly who we say we are, or our lives would be different. The struggle would be different. The struggle would be there if we were who we said we were. There should be a struggle. A fight against the flesh instead of giving in to the flesh and say, I'm following Jesus. You're not following Jesus. You're not following him. You have been deceived to believe a lie that just because you pray a little bit at supper and maybe thank him for one of your three meals a day or however many meals you eat a day. And maybe because you pick up the Word of God when nothing else is more important, there's not a ball game on. How many of you all would read the Word of God instead of watching an important ball game? If God called you to read his Word right then and there. How many of you would say no to what your desires are and say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus? God, don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to be anything. But yet take me to heaven. And that's the lie. And that's what's being preached. And that's what's being taught. And that's what the people are comfortable with. That's what they want. They want what is comfortable for them. And God, you just conform to me. And when Scripture says totally different of that, it says that we're not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How come this is not a reality in the lives of people that call themselves children of God? So I love Jesus's answer. So Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that of you? You follow me. None of your business is basically what he was telling him. None of your stinking business. I told you to come follow me. Don't matter what everybody else is doing. You have to make a stand by yourself that you're going to follow Jesus regardless of whoever comes along. They're not going to understand it. They're not going to like it. They're going to give you a hard time about it. You see, it's one of those things where putting God first to follow Jesus is going to make you look very odd and awkward. Come follow me. But here's where we get into trouble. We don't really listen to what Jesus has to say. Even his disciples were guilty of this. God wrote this in here so that we would know what kind of people we are. See, we don't listen and really understand what Jesus said there. See, Listen to what the disciples went around, and it got spread around that John was never going to die. God is going to keep Jesus, is going to keep John alive forever. Listen to this. Therefore, this saying went out among, not that you're supposed to follow Jesus, but here's what went out among the brethren, that disciple that would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only if he wanted him to remain until he come. That's, what is that to you? So see what we do with God's word, and we don't listen. People don't listen. I will repeat things 3 or 4 times when I give an instruction in the exam room. And my kids and wife always say, why do you say things 3 times? Because I do it 10 hours a day. And so so when I talk to them, I repeat it 3 times. I write out a sheet of paper that's got the instructions on it. I put the instructions on the pill bottle that they're looking at every day. And they'll get home and say, how many times do I give those pills? And those are earthly things. But we're not hearing biblical truth, and we're not hearing godly things. And we're using the human flesh to understand them. That gets us in trouble. And that's what happened here. Oh, they said John's going to live forever. John's never going to die. Did y'all hear that? John's never going to die. Boy, this is great. John's never going to die. He didn't say that. He didn't say he's your friend either. He says he's your friend if you do what he says. He says he calls you a liar because you don't keep his commandments. But you say you love God. Well, you're a liar. And I'm taking this right out of Scripture. I'm not saying this on my own accord. I'm telling you what 1 John says. And John says, you're a liar. Boy, strong word. Let's change that. Let's not use liar. Let's say someone that doesn't just like what they're hearing. That's a whole lot better than being a liar, right? Isn't that what we do? We change the words. We change everything so it doesn't sound so bad. We change it to the point where it's not even sin. Well, God doesn't buy into us changing everything to meet what we want. And God has given his children specific instructions. And you're fooling yourself that you're a child of God if there's no desire to follow him. So you can't go your whole life and say, well, I'm going to do it tomorrow, or it's going to happen the next day, or the next day, or the next day. If it's not actively happening in your life now, it's not happening. If the transformation is not occurring, then you better get on your knees and ask God, why is it not occurring in my life? That's why he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. And that's why it says there's going to be wailing and gnashing of teeth, because as he sends you to hell, you're going to say, but wait a minute, I came when I didn't have anything else planned. I picked up my Bible when I got into a bad time. I prayed to you when my circumstances got bad. What more do you want, God? I gave you some attention. Well, come on, God, you got to work this out. Apart from me, I never knew you, you lawless one. I hope I can make this as plain as I can make it. But I know I can't give it to you because it has to be revealed to you. But as a preacher, I'm supposed to tell you what truth says, and the world is living a lie. And most of the folks this morning that are sitting in a church somewhere because they're not the church are going to die and go to hell. And what a wailing and a gnashing of teeth that day will be. Because no one wants to take God's word and find out what it truly says. We have too many other things on our mind. We have too many other things in our life that are more important than eternity. I think this is a pretty big deal that Jesus came. Don't you? I think it's a pretty big deal that God sent him. And yet, whatever. I mean, I'm hearing him at work. Jesus this, and Jesus that, and Jesus this, and Jesus that, not in a good way. My heart breaks. But my heart breaks for those that sit in the pews Sunday after Sunday, and they don't think they need to be taught by God. The church isn't important. The fellowship's not important. The worship's not important. But be careful that you make sure you clearly understand what God has to say. You don't allow your brain and your flesh to interpret what God says, because you're going to miss it. As these disciples, as these people missed what Jesus told them. This is the disciple, and this is verse 24. This is the disciple who is testifying to these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written in detail, I suppose that even the world itself would not contain the books that would be written in them. See, sometimes we don't know everything. It makes no sense to me in the human flesh why God chose to do what he has done. Makes no sense to me why he let David commit murder, and yet Ananias and Sapphira just cheated him out of a little bit of money and they dropped dead. It makes no sense to me, Christopher, why you had a flat tire coming to church this morning, but those going to play golf made it there safely and having a great time. See, a lot of stuff I don't understand. A lot of stuff I don't know. But I know that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I didn't put it there. He did. He drew me. He came to me. He found me when I was religious, brought me out of religion, started teaching me truth, which is contradictory to everything that I was ever taught and grew up with. But see, it's easier to believe a lie than it is to believe truth. Did you know that? It's easier to believe a lie than it is to believe truth. Let's look at John 7. I want to begin in verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus was walking in Galilee, for he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. So, this is after Jesus had told them that they had to drink his blood and eat his flesh. And, of course, he was talking spiritually. And they took him literally, and they didn't follow him anymore. So, and then he asked the disciples, "Well, do y'all want to go away too?" And the ones that he chose, they said, "No, you've got eternal life." So this is kind of where chapter 7, verse 1 picks up on. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of the booths, was near. Therefore his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers were believing in him. So you got the closest folks that you can have that grew up with Jesus Christ. And they were taunting him to go out there and prove yourself to the world. Jesus doesn't have to prove himself to anyone. And I don't have to prove him to anyone. You see, the world wants signs. The world wants proof. I don't know what other proof they could have asked for. He was raising dead people. He was making people that were born blind to see. He was making the crippled to immediately jump up and walk. It didn't like it happened over 3 months and they got better. I mean, it was like he said, walk, and they picked up their pallet and walked. Have you seen, you've seen those movies before where Jesus tells them to walk and they're like, and their legs are wobbling and all that crap. And it's just like, that's crazy. Just garbage. It says he immediately took his pallet and walked. When Jesus says something and it happens immediately, it immediately happens. You know, and so, but we see, here's where, again, like we just read, we take what we want and we make it to what we want it to believe, and we change it to what we want it to be so it fits what we want to know. That's not what he's saying here. But his brothers didn't even believe in him. His brothers didn't even, so the closest of kin could not even believe in him. Because there's one passage of scriptures that no one can come to Jesus if it's not granted by the Father. And because they didn't have the right heart, and they were testing Jesus. Prove your Jesus to me. It's a changed life. Thoughts are different. You can now read scripture and understand it without having to get a commentary out. See, all these preachers that have to get commentaries out so that they can understand what God is teaching, which they'll never understand what God's teaching by reading a commentary. Now, I've offended all the preachers that have to prepare themselves a sermon every Sunday instead of listening to what God tells, that you tell the folks that are here. So Jesus said to them, my time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune. Wow. Hey, if he says, depart from me, I never knew you, it's your fault. It's going to be your fault, not God's fault. Because your time is always opportune. You can go to God with an open heart and a broken heart and say, God, I'm not the man or the woman that you've called me to be. There doesn't just seem to be an excitement of who you are in my life. See, we've let the world kill our joy. Because we don't understand these biblical truths. First of all, he said to you, come follow him. So it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. You have to make sure that you keep your own joy. And you can't keep your joy by not having him first and following him. So if you've lost your joy, you're not going to like what I'm getting ready to say. It's because you're not in the Word of God with the right heart and the right mind and the right purpose. Wow, how dare you say that to me? I didn't say it. God said it. See, people want everything they can grab from God, but they don't want. But don't be my Lord. Don't you dare tell me what to do. Don't you dare infringe on me and my rights. You'll never hear from God. See, he goes on to say that you always have the opportune time, and you do. You can, what you hear this morning, you can either just blow it out, which most folks, when they hear a sermon, by the time they get to the parking lot, they don't even know what was said, because most folks don't even listen. They got too much stuff on their mind. They're looking at their cell phones or whatever they can do. And I guarantee if you got a text message right now, so there's some that would probably take it out and look at it. That's how important this world is to you, and how unimportant God is to you, is the fact that you can allow, when God's word is being spoken, for you to be interrupted and care more about the world. I'm just telling you things that I'm trying to be honest. This is the things that we need to look at in our lives. And I'm preaching to myself too, folks, not just you. Huh? If you're having a quiet time and that phone rings, you grab it. Don't you? You don't care what God, we're going to put God on hold, but by George, we won't put anybody else on hold. And yet you say God is first in your life? I don't think so. He goes on to say, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because, you know why it hates, you know why the world hates Jesus Christ? Because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. Wow. Not many people would like me to be their preacher. Same reason they hate Jesus Christ, because I'm going to testify that your deeds are evil. He didn't do it to be spiteful. We don't do it to be spiteful. We do it because God puts a burden upon our lives that's almost too hard to bear, to carry every day in and day out, to see people sitting in the pews Sunday after Sunday and there's no growth. You don't get to decide if you're growing. Your life will automatically show that you're growing, just like a child that grows. Is there anything that child can do? No, he just grows, doesn't he? And he doesn't even know he's growing. He just, you know, I think Saul there, they measure the kids so the kids can see how tall they are, and they come back and measure them again. And you didn't even know you got that tall. It just happens. Well, when you grow spiritually, it just happens in the fact that you don't even know it's happening. But yet how you respond to this world and how you respond in your worship and how you respond in following Jesus becomes automatic. It's not a burden. It's not an effort. It's a joy. It's a joy. So that's why people won't come. I hear it all the time. Well, that one gentleman, I had a crazy week. I told him on Wednesday night, I had three exam rooms that wanted to talk about God more than they wanted to talk about their animal. It's pretty amazing. And the one gentleman was concerned he didn't have any faith. And I said, I'm going to tell you why you don't have faith. I said, because you don't hear. And the reason you don't hear is because you're not in the Word of God. And his wife said, yeah, but he won't read the Bible. Yeah, he won't read. I wanted to slap her, but anyway. I know he wanted to slap her. I wanted to slap her too. Because this guy had tears in his eyes when he was telling me this stuff. He was concerned. His wife wasn't much of a help. She was more of a hindrance at this point. A nag. It's pretty serious. Eternity depends on it. You know, when the Bible testifies that our deeds and our ways are evil and our ways are not God's ways, then religious people get angry and they go to a different church. Children of God look at it and say, is that me? Am I the one? See, I loved it because it's a great example of all the disciples when Jesus said, one of them is going to be betray you. And each one of them asked him, is it I, Lord? They didn't sit there and say, well, man, I love God. Jesus is not going to be me. But each one of them knew that there was the potential, the possibility it could be them. And for one moment, for those that are listening to me this morning, whether on Zoom or here, is it I? Is it I that you're speaking to this morning? In verse 14 it goes, but when it is now the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. And that Jesus then were astonished, saying, how has this man become learned? He's never been educated. See, we want somebody that's been educated to tell us what God says. We want somebody that has written a bunch of books We want somebody else in control of our life. And what you, and this is where it's all gone awry, is because you keep looking for that book, or you keep looking for that preacher that agrees with you. You see, that's why when restaurants have a diversity of menus, they're more successful, because they can accommodate more people. So religion has made a smorgasbord of Jesus so they can accommodate. I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ, there's only one menu. There's only one thing on the menu. There's only one thing on the menu. And you don't get to choose. Boy, this guy's never been educated. He's a dummy. He don't know what we know. He don't know nothing. So Jesus answered him and said, "My teaching is not mine, but it's him who sent me." Wow. I want to know who's taught you. I want to know who has taught you to this point in your life, to how you look and respond to following Jesus Christ. It may not have been God who taught you, and that's why you have the comfortability to do what you're doing and live like you're living, because you've not been taught by God himself. Because it's only if you're taught by God that you can come to Jesus Christ. And if you are taught by God and you come to Jesus Christ, then you become his disciples, and his teachings allow you to receive the Spirit, so that now you're a child of God. See, we skip all of those steps. You just come to Jesus when you want to. You can't come to Jesus unless you're taught by God. You can't come to Jesus unless the Father grants it. So therefore, that puts the fear back in you that you're going to go die and go to hell because you're born in a state that you can't do nothing about. If you listen to man, you're going to die and go to hell. If you continue to listen to man, you're not following Jesus. You'll have to stand alone. Jesus says, "Come follow me. Don't pay attention to anybody else. They're going to hate you because you're going to tell them truth." And so that's what people do. They just leave and go and find somebody that will agree with them. And Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," is what their eternity looks like.